Good morning, everyone. Just want to say you've got me again. Yeah. So we thank God for the beautiful worship this morning. We'll just say another prayer again this morning. Amen. God, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your presence is here. Even as the worship was going on, you know, I just felt the presence of God. The presence of God is here all the time. And just that last song that we sang that said, it's all about you, Jesus. You know, we just pray that as we hear the word this morning, that Holy Spirit will minister it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at the topic Holy Spirit, so I'm just going to continue with that. And I've got a few scriptures and things as well that we'll look at as well. So when we're looking at Holy Spirit, I was just thinking, what am I going to talk about, God and Holy Spirit, you know? Pastor Benson just kind of said everything, no? But God's word is like, there's so much to God's word, it's endless. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, God, why is Pastor Benson always telling me to come and talk, you know, and everything, you know? But so I thought, you know, when I was late this morning, I thought, God, yeah, so that means I'm not going to preach this morning. And then my husband came and whispered and said, Pastor said that you're going to go up. And I was like, oh, okay, God, I know you have something for people here this morning. And so I'm just going to share what God, you know, laid in my heart this morning. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is, the Holy Spirit is very necessary in a Christian's life and in our walk. It's just like if you've got a car, I know we have electric cars now. If the car does not have electricity or if it does not have petrol, can it go anywhere? Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is so essential, just like the petrol or electricity that runs in our cars. And the first thing I wrote is, when you have the Holy Spirit, what the first thing it helps you to do is it shows you what is yet to come, which removes all doubts. Because if God has showed you what is to come, there's nothing that anyone can tell you because God has showed you. And the first scripture I want us to go to is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And if you're not there, I'll read it. It says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So the first thing I understand about that scripture is, God can show you things to come about absolutely anything in life. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God searches all things. You know, I remember there was a time when my husband was processing his passport, and he was processing his British passport. And we were thinking, the letter hasn't come. He had done it for maybe 2 months or so. And then one morning or afternoon, we just sat by the computer, and God just, you know, some of us here, I don't know, like me, when I open my Google account, it says you have 200 messages. Is that any of you? I don't check it every day. I'm so sorry. And he checked his inbox. And how likely is it that you check all your messages, 200 especially? No. But that day, for some reason, he was just looking through his inbox messages, and we saw that the passport actually sent him an email to say his passport was ready. And if he had not received, if he had not replied, then he would have to do the process again. No, actually, I think it was for his British ceremony. And if he had not seen that email, he would have to do it again. So what am I trying to say? The Holy Spirit, he can lead you to all things, even the things that are you might think is minute. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit that day that helped us look at the email. And I just want to share, just want to encourage you this morning about some things, even personally in my life. You know when the Bible says that in that scripture that we just read right now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, that he shows you the things to come, that scripture is really real. And I love stories, and I like to encourage you with some stories this morning. So there's two things actually. Pastor would be surprised as well, because I've never really shared it with him either. But you know, I've not been in Bristol Church from the beginning. I was in the church, they have a church in, in London, near Greenwich. And so I was in the church, like the choir is massive, you know, so like if you're part of the choir, you know, like we work really, really hard in Bristol. If you're in the choir, there's so many people that can lead the worship. You know, you don't have to set up. Everything is like, you know, if you go to like Hilton Hotel, everything. I'm not saying that Bristol isn't like hyper, but you know what I mean. Yeah. And so it's like, there's so many people, that's what I'm trying to say, that can do the work. There's so many people. And funny enough, Pastor Benson, obviously he used to attend that church before God sent him to Bristol. I'd known about Pastor Benson and the family, I'd seen the kids, but I don't think I'd ever even really spoken to Pastor Benson. And so one day, just like we are now, I was sat where the choir sit. And it just came to me. I think at that time, I'd met my husband already, but we weren't married. And so I knew there was a possibility that wherever he got a job, I'd have to move with him. And then something just came to me there. And I don't know, my mind, God just brought like Pastor Benson in my mind. And at that time I was like, God, there's nothing really much to do in the choir here. I want to send me to a place where they need workers. I'd never really spoken to Pastor Benson then. I never knew. And so this morning I was reflecting and Holy Spirit was like, remember, I showed you what it is to come. So when we got married, you know, the pastor's wife encouraged us, you know, because in our culture, when you get married as an African woman, you have to go to where the husband goes, right? But my husband, to be honest, I don't want to say he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't really bothered, you know, so I had that freedom. So when the pastor's wife said, oh, check out Bristol Church. So my husband said, you go first. If it's okay, then I'll follow you. And as we behold it years and years later, here we are, and I'm in Bristol Church. So, like, as I'm in Bristol Church, I know I'm supposed to be, because God showed me what is to come. Another funny thing that God showed me is, like, he said, you know, like, as you go to Pastor Benson's, is you're going to see that my life, my family will kind of mirror his life. So I didn't really understand what that meant. But then I started realizing, you know, Pastor Benson is a twin. My husband's a twin. Pastor Benson works in IT. My husband works in IT. Pastor Benson worked in testing. My husband worked in testing. Pastor Benson's first child is a male. My first child is a male. And then, you know, towards the end of last year, you know, I'm not knocking the medical people. They know what they taught, what they were taught in school. They told me that maybe I won't be able to have another child. But you know what? A long time ago, God showed me a dream of a girl standing next to Reverend Omar in the big church. So I knew that, you know what? It's a shame. It's me that paid my money to come and hear what you're saying, doctor. But it's okay. I forgive you because it's not your fault. But you know, as a human, I was a little bit fearful, but I remembered what God showed me. And now, my second child is a girl. So what I'm trying to say is, I was just like, so you said my life will mirror Pastor Benson's life. And I was just like joking with God. I said, okay, so, you know, Pastor Benson has a nice big house. He's got, you know, a sports car. Can our life, you know, let's mirror that. You know. So I was just joking with the Holy Spirit. But, you know, as I was looking at this, when God says he's going to show you things to come, what it does is, when things come, because God has showed you, it can't shake you. And that's what we need to, you know, grow to. And also as well, I faced another challenge as well with my son. So his African name is Osemudiame, which means God is standing for me. But his other's name is Daniel. So I think earlier on this year, the teachers were complaining about him, that he was, one time, one funny thing I was gonna say is the teachers, when I go and pick my son up, they don't tell me anything. But when he goes to pick us up, they tell him everything. I don't know, maybe he's got a friendly face. Maybe my face is too strict. And so they're complaining that my son was saying no. He was disrupting the class and everything. And this was really troubling me. And then I listened to a preaching online. There's a lady that I listen to online. And she was talking about a testimony of her child. Now, when she gave birth to her child, she noticed that in the school, they would say that the child is slow at learning. The child wasn't as brilliant as the other kids. And then she just stood on the word of God. And she said, no, that, the word of God says, my children are for signs and wonders and things like that. So she moved her child from that school. And the minute she moved her child to another school, I'm not kidding you, the child was coming first in every subject. And so that lady's testimony encouraged me. So, I don't know how to handle the situation. Do I have to pray? Am I going to shout at him? So I just started praying in my personal prayer. And then I just started to call him Daniel. Because when he was born, the apostle said that his name is going to be Daniel. And also Pastor Benson had, I don't know, it's like a revelation, or I don't know what's that. He saw Daniel build, there's a bridge called, where's the posh place in Bristol? Clifton Bridge? I don't know. Please, Pastor, if I'm not explaining it the right way. But something to do with Clifton Bridge that Daniel's going to be like an engineer and things like that. So all these things that God has revealed through people, what it is to come, I just started prophesying it. Said, Daniel, you're a good boy. I just started, all of a sudden, it changed. But I said, in the Bible, Daniel was well behaved. In the Bible, I just started saying, this is not Daniel. Your name is Daniel. You must be Daniel. And you know what? He is still a bit naughty, but he has, he's changed. And when we got the school report, his school report was excellent. So I said, I don't understand. This school report and what I was told earlier on doesn't match. But what am I saying this morning? That when the Holy Spirit shows you what is to come, that should be what you hold on to. And that is why the Holy Spirit is so important. Very, very important to us. And then another thing I want to say, we're still looking at the Holy Spirit touches all things and it shows you what is to come. The second point, which still links to the first point, is believing the Holy Spirit despite the physical things you see and whatever the devil tries to show you. So what am I talking about? We talked about it before. Medical situations. God has said, you're going to be mother of nations. God has said, you will live and not die. Then you just finished having that wonderful preaching, or maybe you had a prophetic word. The next day you go to your GP and he just tells you the total opposite. What do you do in that situation? You have to hold on to what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. I know it's difficult. And I want to give you examples, because one thing I like about God is he doesn't just lay the rules and say, oh, you Christians, you do it. He has many examples in the Bible where those things have happened. So, for example, if we go to the story of Lazarus, let's look at John chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. John chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. I'll just read that story. I think a lot of us know that story, yeah? It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now, that was sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Look, the one you love is sick. Verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. And then in verse 11, Jesus said this sickness will not end in death. And then in verse 11, it says, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Why did I choose that story? Because Jesus, who is the Word of God, said, your brother will not die. And what happened? The total opposite. There are many times in our lives, and you know, when I was looking at this particular point, you know, I always want the Word of God to really, really encourage and relate to people that are coming to the service in the morning. And God is saying that particular, this point, that there's a lot of us, maybe that God has told us things, but the opposite is happening in our lives. But I just want to let you know that just like Lazarus was dead, but Jesus, the revelation and the life, he rose Lazarus up. He turned that situation around. So the devil always comes to play tricks with us, because when God says something, he changes it. He does the opposite, but that's just a temporary situation. And there's a scripture I want us to go away with to encourage us. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. It says, the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it, and certainly it will not delay. So God is saying there's many things that he has said in your life, but the opposite is happening. But don't look at that. Habakkuk 2:3 says, wait for it. Even though it delays, wait for it. Just keep waiting for it. The other person as well, the story that I'd like us to look at is the story of, I put down two stories here, Mary and Moses. I think funny enough, there's some people in the Bible that we overlook, like the mother of Jesus. That just came to me as I was writing this. Let's look at the story of Mary. Mary and Joseph, really. We know they were the parents of Jesus. So if we turn to... I put the verse down. Okay, if we... I don't think I put the chapter down, but I read it first. I think it's either in Luke. There's different versions. But this is the story of when the angel appeared to Mary. And then it says here, the angel of the Lord appeared to... Oh, no, this is the story of Moses. Sorry, guys. Okay, so I'm just going to paraphrase the story of Mary. So we know in the story of Mary, she was a virgin. And the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are blessed amongst women. And he says, behold, you're going to have a child and he's going to be the Son of God. Right? That's all I just wanted to communicate in the scripture. But if let's put our shoes in the life of Mary and Joseph. Right? So Mary, the first thing that she encountered when God said that she's going to give birth to the Son of God is she's about to be married. How can she be pregnant? I mean, for some of us here, can you imagine that controversy? You know, that you're about to be married and then you're pregnant. And then who's the father? And then you cook up a lie, oh, well, the Holy Spirit overshadowed me. Can you imagine that kind of situation? So imagine what Mary went through. And then another thing as well. So the angel of the Lord has said, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And then when it was time to even give birth, she couldn't even find a proper nice, I don't know if they had hospitals in that day, then where did she give birth to Jesus? In a manger, where the cattle. And so she's still thinking, but I'm told I'm going to give birth to a Son of God. the things that are happening, they don't line up. The Son of God, I mean, it should be like the royal family. You know what I mean? Here I am in a manger. Then the other challenge they face, there's a king, King Herod. He wants to kill all the firstborn. Then imagine, I like us to think about this, right? Especially us women. You've just had your child, right? Then God is saying that you have to move from China, I don't know, to Nigeria to run away because they're trying to attack your child. Imagine that stress. And then after that, if that wasn't worse enough for Mary, now I'm not sure whether to say this, but I'm sure Mary must have thought, this Jesus boy, he's very stubborn. Do you know why? They say, where is Jesus? Is he in school? Where is Jesus? He's in the temple, teaching people the scripture. She'd be like, huh, this Jesus. She then tells me, come with me home. He's saying, who are you? My meat is to do the Father's will. She must have thought, this boy is rude. The angel of the Lord that said, I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. This Son of God is not. So can you imagine? What was told to her does not look. I'm just trying to make it in our own days. And then the worst thing that could ever happen to any mother, they seize her son. And before we get to the cross, you know, Jesus went through so many things. They said that they stripped him naked. Can you imagine watching your child going through torture? Any of those? They stripped him naked, they lied against him, and then she had to watch her child being crucified. So what the angel of the Lord promised her, it did not look like it. But then the Bible says that on the third day, Jesus, he rose. He took all power from the dead. And I'm sure Mary must have thought, geez, God, wow, this is the King of glory that you were talking about. And at that point, it must have made sense to her. But I use that story as an example that what God tells you sometimes, it doesn't look like it, but it is. Even Moses was another person I put here. And if we go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. So it says, one day while Moses was taking care of the sheep and goats of his father, Jethro, the priest of Midian led the flock across the desert and came to Sinai, the holy mountain. The angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame coming from a bush. Moses saw that bush that was on fire, but it was not burning up. Verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have seen how cruelly my people are being treated in Egypt. I have heard their cry. And I've heard their cry out to be rescued from the slave drivers. I know all about their sufferings. Verse 10. Now I'm sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of his country. But Moses said, I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring Israelites out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. That will be the proof that I have sent you. And Moses is a very good example because I wrote here hindrances. You know, another thing is sometimes God has given you a word or convicted in your spirit about something you should do. For all of us seated here, it's different things. For some of us, it could be your career. For some of us, it could be your ministry. It could be anything. But Moses is a very good example. And one key thing, you know, God said, Moses, go. I will be with you. Now, can you imagine when Moses goes to Egypt? When God said, I'll be with you, he probably thought, I'm just going to be, let my people go, that's it. 2 days max, and people are gone. But what happened with Moses? There was 10 plagues. First, I don't know them in order. First of all, the snake, he threw his snake down. Then Moses' people, they threw their snake down. You know, he encountered so many battles. So, yeah, there was like 10 plagues in total. Then the next challenge. All of a sudden, when Pharaoh finally lets the people go, he's leading all the people, all the children, all the family, and then guess what? There's a big Red Sea. Then all the people start moaning. Why did Moses bring us here? Did he bring us here to kill us and everything? How many of us, if we were Moses, when we saw that Red Sea, come on, if you look at it logically, scientifically, how am I leading people through this Red Sea? How many of you would, if that was me, God, I probably would have thrown in the towel. But you know what? Moses still remembered. He said, I am with you. And that sea departed. And you know, one of the things I always pray to God is, I said, God, some of these stories in the Bible are so interesting. Lord, when I sleep, just give me an experience of it. I don't know, have you ever watched the cartoon, The Prince of Egypt? It's old. Ever watched the cartoon? You should go home and watch it. I tell you, some of these cartoons are so powerful in making you understand what really happened in these stories. I remember when I watched the cartoon, and in the cartoon, the ocean parted. Some of us forget, in that ocean, there are whales, sharks, sea creatures. And in this cartoon, when the water parted, like two walls on each side, I just remember a scene in a cartoon, the little girl walking, and a big whale swam past, whoosh! And that whale knows not to touch that little girl. And I was just like, how amazing. When they were walking through, they saw aquarium. You know what I mean? Anyway, I was digressing there. I just got blown away by all these miracles. But that was a challenge that Moses faced. Then it didn't stop there. I want to take us to another thing as well that Moses faced. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. So Moses had his family members as well with him. He had a sister called Miriam and a brother called Aaron. So I just want to read a little story here. It says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite wife. Verse 2, has the Lord spoken through Moses, they asked, hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. And then God actually, because of what they did, God did punish Miriam. But what I'm trying to say, after that challenge, Moses also went through family challenge as well. You understand? But you know what? God also saw him through that. So what I just want to say here again is, when God shows you something, sometimes you have lots of challenges. It could be medical, it could be family, it could be things that look like hindrances, like the Red Sea. But you know what? When God said that he would deliver the Israelites, did he not do it? They did see the promised land. But think about all the hurdles that Moses went through. So I just want to encourage us this morning that it doesn't matter the hurdles you're going through, what God said, it is going to come to pass. Amen. Then last point that I'm going to talk about is, you know, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of just the spiritual side. When I say the spiritual side, it's like he can show you revelations, he can show you dreams and things like that. But I remember one time when Pastor was preaching about the Holy Spirit, and I'd never heard this being preached before. He said, the Holy Spirit can give you physical strength. I said, huh? You mean it's not just, I mean, I'd seen people have the Holy Spirit, fall under the Holy Spirit. But he said the Holy Spirit can actually do something physical. I thought it was just like spiritual. And he gave some examples. And I just have some examples as well this morning. I want us to look at the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 16 to 13. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 16 to 13. So he said, so Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Yes. And so we know the story of David. The Bible talks about a story once where David, he tore a lion with his bare hands. If I saw a lion, I tell you what, I will even wait. I'll be gone. You know how strong the lion is. The Bible says, and it's the Holy Spirit that gave him that physical strength. And another thing that I saw by the Holy Spirit as well, when that scripture says that David was anointed, and it said the Holy Spirit would come upon him and give him power. The Holy Spirit can give you supernatural wisdom. He can give you supernatural intelligence. It's not just spiritual things. He can give you physical things. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying this morning. One of the things that I saw as well is when David was before Goliath, what in the world made him think that a stone would bring down this giant? I think that is intelligence. God gave him intelligence at that moment. Also as well, Pastor has given us a real life example as well. You know, when he had a challenge at work, he had this job and he had to sort out the problem. And if he didn't sort it out, he was gone. And he went into the toilet and he prayed and God brought wisdom. And also as well, the Holy Spirit gives you strength when you're weak. And even me, I have a testimony for this. He gives you strength when you're weak. Not just physical strength, but you know, mental strength. Now, like me, I love to give stories. I love stories. So in my career, I've gone through some challenges. I worked in one big company where I was kind of bullied at work. And my confidence went so low, I wanted to leave that profession altogether. But I was encouraged by people. And so recently in my current role, so I'm in a team, but there's just that one person. That one person. Hi. I think the devil has sent that person. But I thank God that the devil has sent that person to challenge me, but it's bringing out good in me. This is the person that every meeting, the person always has something to say. And you know what? He's got a manipulative spirit. Whatever that person says is what stands. And me, I don't take it lightly with him as well. When he says, me too, I speak my own. Everybody else will say yes, but I say no, I'll speak my own. And do you know what was so funny? I was going through a period, I didn't share with anyone, where I was feeling demotivated. Sometimes it was a struggle to put on my laptop. I had so much work that was piling up because I was putting it off. I had no motivation, no passion to work. I don't know, maybe what the thing that the guy was doing was probably knocking my confidence and I didn't know. And so the other day, Pastor scheduled a meeting with me because I asked him that I needed help like with the testing and my project. So Pastor scheduled a meeting with me where he took me through like what is called a test plan. And if you know me, I don't know nothing about testing. It's Chinese. That's not my area. And I think that meeting was literally 30 minutes. And he just showed me a PowerPoint and he just showed me all the content. This is someone that has maybe more than 25 years of experience. And he showed me something in 30 minutes. So how much will I digest? Let's look at that. 25 years, 30 minutes? Yeah, don't add up. But can you believe, the next day, my manager, she had put in a meeting, but I didn't know that she's going to ask me or ask the group about testing. So remember, this guy in my team, any topic that comes up, he knows everything. You know, someone where it's like, he knows the answer for everything. And so the manager said, okay, now we're going to look at terms of references around test plan. So what do we think about testing? So everybody spoke. He spoke. And then I said, what did Pastor teach me yesterday? I said, this is my opportunity. And I tell you, I opened my mouth. And the way I was speaking, I was saying this, that, this. Even though I was a developer manager, I said, sorry, is this? I challenged him. Everybody at the end of that meeting, they were quiet. And you know what? On Friday, the PM scheduled an impromptu meeting. And I had a dream earlier on to my brother. I said, to my husband. I said, you know what? I had a dream that my head of our entire team, I had a dream, he said that they're looking for two people to put in a position, head of something. And they chose me over, you know, that other guy. Yeah. And I said, I don't know what this means, because it's like we took over her role, but she's still working. I don't know what it means. Then on Friday, my manager had a meeting with me. And she said, Josephine, I've just been thinking about the testing working group. We were thinking of who's going to run it. And I want you to take the charge. I want to be the lead. And I was like, huh? I went to tell my husband. I said, oh my God. I said, you don't even know what happened. They said, and then she said, yeah, you're going to take the lead. Don't worry, when you go on maternity, then that other guy will put him there. But you are the lead. And I said, God. But what the Holy Spirit, he can give you wisdom and intelligence. I don't know nothing about testing, but that day, I don't know. It was like everything Pastor said was like flowing out. So what am I saying this morning? That the Holy Spirit, honestly, it's for our benefit. It's something essential. And the Holy Spirit can do more than show us what to come, but he can give you strength. He can give you wisdom. He can give you intelligence. And, you know, God wants us to understand that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. And we should take advantage of him. And I think I'll just stop there. And just to round up on what we, you know, talked about this morning. We talked about the Holy Spirit is to show us what is to come. The second thing we looked at is that the Holy Spirit shows us what to come, and despite of what things look like. So when God said that this will happen, the opposite happens. The Holy Spirit encourages us that it doesn't matter what things appear, what things look like, because he said it is going to come to pass. And we looked at examples of Lazarus. Jesus said Lazarus wouldn't die. What happened if he died? But at the end of the day, God resurrected him. We looked at Mary. They said, you're going to have the Son of God. She went through all the challenges, but at the end, that word was true. We looked at Moses. God said that God would use him to deliver the Israelites. He went through so many challenges. Even his family members rose against him. But God did allow the Israelites to leave Egypt and see the promised land. And the last thing we looked at is that the Holy Spirit is not just like a spiritual thing, but he can give you like physical strength. He can give you physical things, like I use the example of wisdom, of intelligence. And so I want us to go away with all of that this morning. And let's rise up and pray. Let's rise up and pray. Let us just open our heart this morning. Let us really open our heart this morning. And say, Holy Spirit, I come to you this morning to say, I may not have acknowledged you. I may not have tapped into your role in my life. I may have ignored you, but this morning I'm going away changed, Holy Spirit. Father, I open my heart for you to activate your presence in my life, Holy Spirit. I thank you for all the things that you have showed me this morning. I go in the zeal of God. That even what you showed me, though what it looks like is different, but like Moses, like Mary, I'm going to hold on to the word of God. And Holy Spirit, I'm ready to receive not just spiritual, but the physical ability, strength. I receive strength this morning, Holy Spirit. I receive strength. Strength to go through any challenge I may be facing. Strength in my mental state. Strength physically in the name of Jesus. I receive intelligence. In your career, open up your mind. God will give you intelligence. The Bible says he searches all things. He reveals not just the things to come with regards to the word of God, but everything pertaining your life. Let's just open up our hearts. Say, Holy Spirit, I for one, I apologize, Holy Spirit, for not tapping into your power. Holy Spirit, I open my heart to you this morning. I go away not being anxious anymore. I go away not doubting anymore, because I know, Holy Spirit, you show me what it is to come. Though today looks challenging, today looks hard, but God, I hold on to the prophecies I've received in the past, the word of God I've received in the past, and I go with the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are here. You are alive in us, and you're working through us. And we just want to say thank you, Heavenly Father, for leaving the Holy Spirit in us. Bless your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's one important point, that I forgot to mention. You know, one important thing that we need in this for the Holy Spirit, in terms of He shows us what to come, is that in these last days, we need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to decipher if what you're hearing is scriptural, if it's the word of God or not. In these last days, you need God to lead you. Something scared me the other day. Do you know in the Commonwealth that just took place in Birmingham some months ago or weeks ago now, there was, as part of the ceremonial, they didn't really show this to everyone, there was a calf that was erected. And as part of the ceremonies, I think, I don't know who they are, but I don't think they were athletes. There was a ceremony where they had to bow down to the calf. Now, some of us may think, you're too spiritual. But we need the Holy Spirit in the last days. There's a scripture I was going to read to us when Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" They said, some say you're the prophet, some say you're this or that. But I think, was it Peter that says, "You are Jesus Christ." We need the Holy Spirit in these last days, I'm telling you. Pastor Ben said, you can't rely on him. We need the Holy Spirit. So much is happening. We need the Holy Spirit even in our schools when they're trying to introduce things. It seems okay, but you need the Holy Spirit to say, no, not that one. We need the Holy Spirit in these last days. And I didn't want to leave here without saying that. God has helped us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, sir.